You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, we're treated to a rare radio interview with my guest, Elias Lonsdale. Elias was introduced to star vision while traveling the communes of the late 1960s as Sonny Blue Boy. In the 1970s, he studied formal astrology with Mark Edmund Jones and Astrosphere in the tradition of Rudolf Steiner. Over decades, he honed his craft before developing an esoteric school and training program in the beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains. He is credited with inspiring a generation of astrologers, including Mark Borax and Rob Brezhne. He's authored 4 books, including Inside Star Vision, Star Rhythms, Inside Planets, and Inside Degrees. And with his wife, Sarah Theana, he wrote Book of Theana in the Lands That Follow Death. Those are all listed on his bio that is up now. He presently lives in Hawaii, where we will be meeting him now, I hope. Hi, Elias. How are you?
Hi.
I grew up in the 60s myself and was something of a flower child and experimented with all kinds of mind-altering substances. And I know that there are a lot of us still around that had that experience and felt that there was magic in the air. That magic seems to have disappeared. would you like to share about what's going on during these times, or would you can go back and start out where the star vision all began? It's all up to you.
Well, I'm going to take a very brief springboard from the past into the now this way.
Okay.
What I feel most connected with in my life story and my biography, my destiny pattern, is that I was always finding myself in the right place at the right time to participate in the very amazing things that were going on. It happened that way many, many times over. So I sort of had this front row seat on the 60s and early 70s. And ever since that time, I feel like I've had a front row seat on everything going on in the world. It's like I've been given this point of view. And way back then, it wasn't even a spiritual point of view. It wasn't that way. It was just consciousness. But these days, it's a spiritual point of view. And what I mean by a spiritual point of view is that I am thinking together with spirit beings. I am actually in communion with spirit forces. That's how I do things. But I'm not a channel in the strict sense. It's like I'm co-creative with beings who've died, who I'm very close with, like Theana, who is now called Hoti. And I'm connected with everybody from both the life side and the death side. It's kind of like I'm completely at home after death and completely at home in this world of the living. And I'm about bringing those worlds together in the best possible sense. And then all of my star genesis is really kind of an elaboration of that path, because I've just been learning through tuning in. I've been tuning in for over 25 years, although initially to beings who were a little bit different than those I tune in with mostly now. But nonetheless, I've been tuning in for over 25 years, and this has been the current of my life that has set the tone for everything. It's been my touchstone. So it's a very spiritual path in that way. It's aligned with spiritual forces. And way back, it was more like just being, alive to the pulse of the time. So it's like that, only a lot more so when your spirit imbued in an all-encompassing way, not a religious doctrine or something, but you're just enveloped in a spiritual field.
Do you feel that this period of time that we're in, so many people talk about the great shift or a leap into galactic consciousness, or the Earth ascending to higher dimensions? Do the spirits that you speak with, do you feel that we're headed in a direction of a reunion with those realms, that the veils are thinning, or what? What is happening? It seems like there's a lot of different directions at the same time.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The there's at least four contradictory worlds commonly making up what everybody's experience is.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, the outermost world of those four, the really outer physical world, is just freaking out all the time, not only in the political arena or something like that, but our own bodies. Everybody's bodies are these days are freaking out. Everybody's in this, you know what I mean? It's like none of us are quite healthy enough and sound enough
mm-hmm.
to survive the times, if you know what I mean. It's like
absolutely.
It's such an overwhelming experience. So on the outside, we're all kind of a little bit like invalids trying to keep it going, no matter who we are.
Yes.
And
well
then,
said.
And then on the etheric level, on the subtle life level, oddly enough, the very same things that are so impossible on an outer level are actually what we're drinking and eating and being nourished and sustained by. That's how the etheric works. So what's happening is the very world that's impossible for us to navigate through outwardly, physically, is etherically revitalizing us, paradoxically, because we needed to have a very big dosage of what our own creations generate without spirit forces involved, so we would get the lesson that we also learned in Atlantis, which is if you go it alone without spirit forces, you blow it.
Mm-hmm.
But this time we get to learn that lesson before we destroy everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're awfully close, aren't we?
Yes, but the etheric knows how to resiliently weave through fairy realms, fairy beings, to resiliently weave this physical catastrophe that we're endlessly in on all levels into a kind of etheric new life. There's a new planet being birthed, and that's a huge thing to talk about, but what I see is that the outer physical Earth we're familiar with, even in our own bodies, is dying, and that this new body has to emerge from it, kind of a vibrant life body, and it sounds at first like a pipe dream or something incredible, but it really is what's going on. It's just going on in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing, that's the etheric level, the astral level, on the astral level, the soul level, people are in the most maxed out karmic soul dramas they could possibly be in. Their karma is wanting to kind of burn itself out all at once. That's what's actually going on with people. Wonder why people are dealing with so much, it's that their karmic urgency has speeded up. They want to work it all out fast, so because they know that the world's going to change so much that they won't be able to work out their karma in the world we're going to be in. So this is an unconscious soul instinct in human beings, is when it's at the end of a cycle, work out your karma fast. So people are really putting themselves through it. If you follow what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. And
so that's the soul level.
Yeah.
And then the spirit level, just to briefly say it, the spirit level is kind of esoteric a bit, but let's just say on the spirit level, there's a sense of complete embrace of the whole of Earth existence and that all will be well. And as far as the radical New Age vision of the shift into the new octave of the planet, I think in a slightly earthier way, I think that is what's happening.
interesting. Of course, I have. There are a lot of people who are talking about this, and I personally sense it in around me constantly, living in the country, and I've been feeling this sense of the earth dying and my body dying, but also being more in tune with subtle realms and living multidimensionally.
Yes.
And there's just kind of the beginning or dawning of an awareness that there is something else just around me, kind of like an information field that's informing and guiding.
Yes.
And so on.
An information field is what it is. Viewing it very simply and straightforwardly, that's what it is.
Now, does the date of 2012 have any bearing whatsoever on this process that we're in?
About once a season, at the beginning phases of that season, which can last between a few days and a couple of weeks, each season is a little bit different. But each season now that's happening, starting the season we're in, the spring of 2011, is like a mini 2012 event. And winter solstices and summer solstices and, you know, autumn equinoxes and spring equinoxes, but also, as you can tell by recent events, it goes quite a bit into the beginning of that season now. Like this whole time in spring that we've been in the last weeks, we are essentially in this immensely accelerated space.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, I mean, for better and for worse, it's all happening much faster.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, suddenly, and you can point to Japan, and you can point to lots of things if you like, but it is happening, whatever you want to make of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Entropy is faster. In a dream of mine recently, it was said, entropy is there, and then counter-entropy is there, that the spiritual forces work as counter-entropy. And so entropy is speeding up, and so is counter-entropy. Counter-entropy allows us to live almost an everlasting life or an immortal life within the physical world, which is all of our destinies eventually, to combine life and death in life. You won't even have to die, because you'll be living death through your life, and you'll be incorporating both into each other.
It's so strange that you should say that, because I've had that feeling for a long time that there, and I could be quite wrong, but that there won't be any physical death. And maybe I'm just sensing something that's coming at a future date, but I can see that, you know, there's a point where death will no longer be an issue.
Yeah, it's coming on fast. It's going to be with us within years.
Mm-hmm. I liked what Thiana said, something in the book that you wrote about how death offers more possibility for those who have been able to shed their ego and their personality. Do you recommend that people continue to work on self-knowledge and being truthful with themselves and processing the past and so on and so forth in order to be as clear and to clear away as much debris as possible?
Yeah, it's the season for that, so to speak, and it's upon us so strongly. And the people that I notice just this spring so far, just very recently, who are doing best with it are those who are able to go deep and high. And I feel like that's the imperative in evolution, the radical imperative in evolution, that scares some people but also stimulates and very much pleases many people, which is now we're going to have to go deep and high.
Mm.
And when we're deep and high, then we can be in the middle in a living way, but we can't do it from the surface mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to, you know, stretch our vertical upward to the heavens, so to speak, and stretch our deep roots into the real living earth.
Mm.
And only both of those together will allow us to proceed in evolution. We need both. Not
mm-hmm.
one or the other.
It sounds like the tree of life.
Yes, very much so. A very similar pattern is in the star chart to the tree of life. In fact, I call the point overhead the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Astrologers call it the midheaven. I call it the crown, Kether. It very much is the crown. Top of the chart. It's
mm-hmm.
the same tree. The same tree's in the chart. Chart's in the tree.
One of the things that I found intriguing in the book was something that many people talk about in different ways, and I think it might be a good idea to get your take on this, but that there's potential for the... There are two different potentials. There's a galactic federation and an alternate future force that's
yes.
Providing assistance in the form of incoming energies.
Yes.
Can you help? Can you enlighten us a little bit about your direct participation in this, and what it is that's happening, and what they're sharing with you, and what we can know about at this time?
Yeah. Let me just say that I tune into, and so does Luminara, the woman that I'm with, who has been with me for quite a long time. We tune in with many different kinds of beings and worlds, although none of them very bizarre or anything, but they're just different aspects. And when it comes to tuning into kind of the central program of what's really going on, without getting caught in names and stuff, I will say that we tend very much into a Michaelic stream, and we very much align with the Archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And that path, which is very universal, it's not about a religion or a given, you know, power group or something. It's a much more universal force. Doing things from that place, in this Michaelic way, everything always emphasizes the way the spirit forces teach me. Everything always emphasizes this aspect that I was starting to speak about the vertical and living deep and living high. But I'll put it in somewhat different terms here. What's happening is that what my prophecy, my revelation of what's going on, is that we're actually on higher levels being kind of altered, awakened, quickened. Into that multidimensional field you were mentioning. And below, what's happening is we're being healed of what ails us in one way or another. Everything is healing us of what ails us, all the shadow stuff. It's really healing us. And we're living in the middle between these two. And so our physical is always being healed, and our soul is always being healed. But our etheric is moving onward into a future space. And our spirit is guiding our etheric onward into this future space. And we experience that like the feminine, because the etheric tends to be equated psychically with the feminine. And so all of us feel the feminine pulling us forward beyond this, you know, locked-in consciousness of the
mm-hmm.
end of the age of the fishes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just holding out her hand. Do you know what I mean? I mean the feminine in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a strong feminine in you.
Indeed. If you only
knew. I'm not talking about a woman for you.
Right.
I'm talking about you. You know, just to clarify, because people get caught in this terminology.
Right. 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 I feel that. I feel that myself. I've had some guests on. Lucia Renee is one of them, who writes about the patriarchy, and she goes into more detail about what your books bring up about black magic and the rule of the magicians on this planet that are controlling things that are very dark. But you're saying that this is a time when that is loosening up, that the control of the patriarchy or the dark forces, if you want to call it, is going to be released at some point, and we're going to be...
Oh, yes, it will. It will flare up like crazy before that point, and yes, it will be released. We're, on the soul level, human beings have to dramatize things to a point of extremity before they move with things. So
yeah.
That's how we're doing it. We're just exaggerating it all so that we can get it over with. That's what I meant about the end of an age. You know, everybody knows to just go into their karma.
That makes so much sense. So much sense. And it's so obvious if you... You know, if you're not completely deaf, dumb, and blind, and even if you are, you could easily pick up the vibes, probably more than somebody who has their five senses functioning.
Yes.
So, yeah, and it always scares me to see the television generation that I was born into, this kind of virtual world of hawking and selling things, just... kind of enveloping everybody like an octopus, and I've had to, you know, disconnect my television set and stop reading the newspaper. And I mean, there's just a certain point where the foolishness and the buffoonery just is intolerable.
Yeah, yeah, we certainly have reached that point. The USA is definitely going through a an ultimate crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Has been since 9/11, 2001.
Many people are saying that that was created by the dark side or the powers that be. I suppose it doesn't matter. But
there are so many good conspiracy theories about it because it was the most overdone Hitchcock-esque version of a collective crisis that has ever existed. And I'm mentioning here Alfred Hitchcock, who always did overdramatic effects.
Yeah.
And so every possible way we could look at it being caused by some strange thing is true.
Uh-huh.
It is caused by so many strange things. It was the convergence of all strange things. And what it did, typically, was it did something physically awful and etherically very, very wonderful. It physically meant that sort of set into motion a series of shockwaves that are now, you know, the economy shaking down and the whole psyche of the country really breaking down at this point, all from that. It's like it was like a physiological disaster that never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And etherically, paradoxically, what's come of this is that there's a possibility that the American spirit will renew itself, and it comes from that event because people were so stunned. So the very thing that's impossible and unbearable may actually lead to the Renaissance itself, because America is a bizarre place. It avoids death, but when it experiences death, it goes through it very intensely and then emerges in a different state, and it's possible that'll happen.
Yes. But we are going to see... It does seem that we haven't seen the death yet. That the uprisings that are occurring all over the globe, even though you could probably trace them to specific causes, hasn't quite hit here yet. Do you feel that there's going to be further breakdown and collapse in the American dream? In order for us to wake up from the sleep and denial that we've been wallowing in?
Yeah, it will take more because kind of the motif of the U.S. is Hollywood, really. And basically the idea is always to kind of go on vacation and then to have a great time. That's kind of what Hollywood's really saying, is life is a vacation, have a great time. And even the darkest movies are ultimately about being entertaining and yeah. diverting and allowing you to so-called escape. So we have this culture that's always trying to get away from something,
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say. And we're very much trying to get away from our own end-of-life disease. But it's usually those who deny major, major illness like this do suffer from it more so when they get into it, because they haven't really been healing themselves. So spiritual forces are working overtime in this country to just get it to stay slightly stable, because the rest of the world's going to really shake if this place shakes.
Mm.
Because this place is so pivotal in the pulse of the world. It's just, it's setting the pulsation frequency. And so everybody's afraid of any collapse in the U.S.
Mm. Yes, that it does seem that that is something that we're all postponing, but
yes.
Aren't there Masonic and secret societies that have been working behind the scenes to set up the United States and the various designs that they intended for this country in the first place?
Yeah, and honestly, what that means is you're talking about the realm of secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
And of secret brotherhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And secret brotherhoods and secret societies are a very key part of what's going on.
That's one of the things that I find to be the most irritating of all the things that are going on here. The secrecy, the sickness of the secrecy, that everything is taken, we're treated like children who can't know anything, and everything is kept from us, whether it's something in the stars or UFOs or an ET presence or Area 51 or Area 52 or, you know, various energy devices that have gone underground for over 60 years. And some people are aware of the idea that there's an entire galactic civilization that's formed right here with using the money that's been drained secretly. And so there's a lot of secrets that need to come out and be exposed. Is that something that you feel is important to have happen so that we can heal from this?
Yeah, it's an inevitable process. I don't want to get too caught up in star genesis and star language here, but it just so happens that last night Pluto went retrograde in 8 degrees of Capricorn. Whenever a major outer planet shifts from direct to retrograde or vice versa, goes to a station, as they call it, it's a big shift around here, in Pluto especially. And what Pluto's doing at the moment is it's making everything we're talking about twice as intense and twice as real, because Pluto's like that. It just kind of brings you right down into it. So
mm-hmm.
we're speaking together right now, right down into it. And yeah, from that place, we're essentially invoking directly, energetically, the end of the known world and the recreation of a world that we can be in, that's happening right in the weave of our lives without our physical selves really picking up on it.
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting. How long will Pluto be retrograde?
Pluto spends a few months retrograde. It spends a big part of its cycle retrograde. It likes to be retrograde. But it's the shifting moments when it does that, because it's like a tectonic shift. It's like everything, the whole balance of things shifts. Like what I feel today, different from yesterday, is I feel I've been in resistance to fast forward, which is the only speed that the world's going at.
yes.
You know, there's no other button to push anymore. It's just fast forward or fast forward. You know, and I decided to stop pushing buttons. So, you know, so I've been resisting that until last night, literally. Huh. And I went through something last night and today where I get that I don't need to do that. I don't need to resist fast forward. Fast forward is doing fine. It'll do great with me if I don't have past memory things associated with it, like people going too far too fast and ending Atlantis and all that kind of stuff. But if I actually get it that this is a speed culture and it has to run fast off that road in order to realize that it has died and be reborn.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we have to go fast to kind of burn up our karma and kind of get ourselves going because we're so saturated with the past.
Oh, yes, no kidding. And it seems that we've been living with, for so long, with denial and in the dream world that we're having to condense a lot into a very short period of time because we had the luxury of not doing the self-examination for so long that it's all going to hit us right in the face. It's kind of like somebody's throwing a glass of cold ice water, and it might be boiling water for all I know. for some people, it might be boiling water and scalding, and others, it might be ice water. Now, Mercury is retrograde too, isn't it?
Yes, and that doesn't mean what people think it means. What it basically means is that you get a chance to face truth 24 hours a day. It means that everything becomes deeply real. It's just that you can't get away from it, and people love to get away from things. So it's 3 weeks when you get hogtied to immediate existence and forced to experience it like being, you know, tied on the rail, and you just got to stay there. You don't get to wiggle around. You spend 3 weeks, you know, having to just face reality. As Mercury is generally pretty restless. It's pretty mercurial in its energy. And so that part of us gets a little restless under constraint. But I find that my mind really appreciates it because the contemplative side of things then intensifies to meet this ridiculously thematic external. And so you get to actually become accelerated in your development during Mercury retrograde times if you're willing to face reality, if you're just willing to stay with what is. That's the actual program of Mercury retrograde. It's meant to teach people how to face things and move through things. But usually everybody resists it, and then it turns negative, which is it turns off all our machines and makes our minds crazy and kind of gets its revenge because Mercury is pretty intent upon getting through to us.
Ah.
And we're resisting it every time.
Yes. There does seem to be a lot of resistance.
We don't want to go through the change. We want to stay the same. That's what we say to Mercury. So Mercury gives us 3 weeks every few months to play it out.
Now, you said, I wish I knew more about astrology, but I don't. Aren't there a lot of planets that are moving into or connecting to Aries at this time as well?
Yeah, we're in a, as I was joking about with someone in a reading here today, it's an Aries party. I was saying, actually, that it's a great Aries moving sale, and you're constantly moving somewhere, but you don't know where you're going. So that's the feeling of, to me, of the, you know, to be humorous about it, of the Aries month, the Aries times we're in, that we're just in this immensely accelerated process, but we're moving everywhere, but where are we going?
That's a good question. What I do. Wow.
And I say that as someone with strong Aries in my chart, and I know Aries really well. I'm not opposed to Aries at all, but it can be a little random, chaotic, wild, and, you know, raunchy. So each of us needs to kind of balance out and become a little bit more internally receptive rather than always putting out the next energy thing.
Well, my best friend who's listening, who's in Aries, will probably appreciate hearing some information about what's going on with the planet.
Yes.
She's doing very well with it, by the way.
Yeah, it's a very immense time to be in.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you? I mean, I have to guess that you would also feel that at the soul level, we chose this time to incarnate for the experience that we're having as part of the reason why we're here now.
Absolutely.
Okay. And concurrent with that choice, it seems that there would be that we were possibly chosen as well for whatever reason out of the bajillions of souls that were lined up waiting to jump in and do their thing. We might have had some kind of special skills that would be helpful as well to be of service to the rest.
You know, I feel like the real story of what we're going through right now is so much more compelling than what we've yet been telling ourselves.
Mm.
We have been in this shell-shock state really since September 2001.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in the shell-shock state, and we haven't quite gotten perspective on anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I step back a little and experience things, there's something so much bigger going on than we're telling ourselves. Do you realize that? We're in at the beginning stages of the hugest change this world has ever seen. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be kind. But it is going to be true and loving.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. It's going to be true and loving in that, to accentuate the positive. The way of things is that each one of us has a heart truth,
mm-hmm.
and like an essence heart truth. And that essence heart truth is what we really carry as our treasure, as our gift, as our offering. And then we sort of surround it with these protective guardians of all these other parts of ourselves too. You know, it's like we're living in a garden at the center in an enchanted way, and all around us there's all these sentinels doing all these things to keep our world going. But we're really living in this sanctuary at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, if you're following me, that heart essence, that one at the center, that one that stays in our heart, stays in the center of things, that one, and is always true to self in some deep inner level, that one is really the one who is being selected out in evolution as who we really are, and everything else is being cast away. All we get to be is our heart essence. Everything we think we are is actually not real, but we are that heart essence.
Mm.
So what's not real is being taken away from us, but what's real is being truthfully and lovingly deepened, strengthened, and selected.
This almost sounds like an alchemical process of transmutation and purification from lead to gold.
Yes. It is. This is an alchemical operation. It's alchemy plus, and the alchemy part is very, very strong.
Mm. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in the metaphor of the senses and not... as you said, not decode the right messages that are coming from the heart and the essence and the soul.
Yes.
How do we remain centered in that space that you're talking about, or move into that space and stay in the eye of the tornado, calm and loving?
You know, just in the last couple of days, more than once in my immediate world, I've been told that that's the position I am maintaining, the very thing you're just asking. How do people do that? I think I can speak from experience now, fully being in that, that it's really a question of alignment. I'm going to try to describe something that's more than you would usually talk about in this kind of context, but I want to just convey this one thing.
Okay.
There's this alignment going on, this incredible alignment. And when you enter into an alignment, not like a wheel alignment, but like a subtle alignment, what happens is you sift through your soul's record and you cast off who you're not, and then you learn to listen and tune into who you are. So it's kind of like becoming receptive to this one in you who's already there, who I call a future self.
Mm. Mm.
And you become receptive to them, and then they can influence you actively rather than talking to you. They don't want to talk, they want to act. Future selves want us to get on with the future, you know, get on with what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just learn to be receptive to that, and that future self in you knows how to kind of bring you closer and closer into your heart center that way.
Mm.
Do you follow?
Yes, I do. I do follow.
It's an alignment.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what will do it, just to be in that alignment. Alignment is both active and receptive. It's both something we're doing and something we're receiving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is what's really going on right now.
Mm. That makes so much sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to my left brain, but it's just sitting there scratching its head, but that's okay because that's what it always does. But I can see visually when I close my eyes and am with you, I can see what you're talking about. And I'm sure that the listeners can too, and do, and
yes,
are.
Because the part of you that you're invoking that's doing that is the closest on the conscious level to your heart essence.
Mm. Now, so okay, that brings up the question about future self and past self. So, how many selves do we have? I mean, how many fragments?
We have many, 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 and our past selves are actually very active in us.
Hmm.
Again, not so much talking. Everybody wants to talk between this and that. It's not about talking with your past self. It's, again, it's an active thing. Our past selves are impulsing us all the time, and we have to become sufficiently self-aware to be able to sort of encompass all that they're bringing us and to move beyond it. So there's this peculiar combination in our lives, if we're tuned into it, where we're constantly trying to kind of take our previous selves in some implicit way and bring them along with us and strip any influence of theirs that limits us, but unite with their essence.
It sounds a little bit like aligning with the highest part of ourselves from the past.
Yes. Yes, because actually you don't connect with previous lifetimes. You connect with the being who died at the end of that lifetime and who's in a chamber where you can connect with them.
Mm.
But you don't connect with the one who was alive, which means basically that it's more of a spiritualized version of that self.
Mm. Do all of ourselves ever unite as one?
Yes, that's what we're working on now. That's the Age of Aquaria.
And just so that, I mean, I am so confused about the age of Aquarius. I mean, I watched Hair in the 60s in Los Angeles, and they were talking about it then. When
yes.
is the age of Aquarius? And what, I mean, is there a period of time
well,
that we can...
some people say a few hundred years from now. Some people say it already happened 100 years ago. There's many, many different models, and my conviction is it's beginning on a continuous basis between now and 2015.
Okay. Well, it could, but there's no reason why we couldn't pull from it and draw upon it right in this moment.
If you just stretch your time sense slightly, you can. And what your near future self wants to do, absolutely, is to help you to get over the brain state, the crazed brain state of people back in 2011, and to become self-awake and self-acknowledging. Uh-huh. It's very hard for us to be fully self-acknowledging, but that's the leap. Not egoistic, not grandiose, not I'm what it's all about.
Right.
But we just have to acknowledge that we are who we are and that we're not fooling ourselves.
Yes, yes. Yes, there seems to be an enormous amount of maybe it's a training that we've taken on as being, well, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm nothing, I'm insecurities, and so on and so forth, and we just never seem to get beyond this idea that of our ultimate worthlessness, and that seems to be such a big obstacle for so many people, myself included.
Yeah, that's the great shadow work, is to take the one in you who feels kind of an invalid, who feels at the mercy of, who feels, you know, overwhelmed by this, and to work with that part of yourself. What I had to learn how to do, because I went through many, many extreme experiences way back, not through hard drugs or anything totally destructive, just through the path I was on, I just found that I had to sort of endlessly walk myself through this world and have an affirmative point of view and give myself a chance. I feel like I'm the one who's steering me. I am the one who is steering me through.
Huh.
And the I that's steering me through loves and appreciates the one I'm steering, and doesn't view them as falling short of anything.
Yeah. Well, I've often thought that if we could give ourselves even a tenth of the love that we shower upon our four-legged friends, we would be overwhelmed by the love we have for ourselves.
That's beautiful. Yes, we do need to be in a kind of a free connection with ourselves where we are able to overcome all versions of going against self.
Are some of our future selves from other, say, planetary, galactic locales?
Yes.
Federation?
Yes. Some of our future selves are like that, and those are, it's more like, see, it depends how honest you want to be in a given encounter, what it's like to encounter someone who has died and who still lives on the other, what is that like? What is it like to encounter, you know, these forces of many worlds that are interpenetrating this world, call them what you will, what is it like to actually make that connection? And it's just as difficult in its own way as really getting the connection with those who've died in other such realms, because you have this kind of consciousness drift, or I don't know what to call it, a curve that you have to go through. So if I really connect with a cosmic future self from beyond this existence, I have to raise my frequency to even contact them.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I can. That's the strange part about all this. I can raise my frequency and contact them, and then I realize that, yes, we're being pulled through a very big planetary shift, and it involves that what we thought of as human is going away, but the essence of who we really are here is being intensified.
I have so many questions that are evoked by what you just said. You're a way shower in so many ways in helping us to bridge that the future self that is trying to get in touch with the essence of each one of us. I think what the question is has to do with raising our frequency. How do we do that? In other words, you've had kind of a magical, mystical tour up close and personal, like, you know, you got one person sitting in the audience, and it has been you. For the rest of us yokels out here in the country, we may not be so fortunate. We have to actually work at raising our frequency. Do you have any words of wisdom for us dumb clucks out here?
Raising your frequency means that you... Okay, I was trying to mention it before, and I got a little distracted. What happens is you find yourself in a state of mind that is repetitive and circular, karmic. And so you follow, you track with that part of you that's doing that, that's circling through a karmic loop. And what you do is you ask to be shown what's really going on. So you don't assume that what you're seeing is what's really going on. You ask to be shown what's really going on. It has a very interesting effect on things if you're sincere in really wanting to know what's really going on. The first way to start all this is to do it that way, to piggyback on top of your future selves that way. It's kind of it's a shortcut. And then gradually you learn how to do it more completely within yourself.
Interesting. It feels almost like the tuning of a frequency or a radio station.
Yes.
Fuzzy. You just have to start playing with the dials and till you start to hear...
We're in a greater transformational field, and we only fully feel it when we need to tune up our frequency, and then we realize that there are these multidimensional forces at work that are actually there to help us do that, and all we have to do is be present to the light around us and to the consciousness, the unified consciousness field around us, and open to it. But I admit that in living in certain places and situations, this can be very difficult. So sometimes you do have to go into a very, you know, very inward space and make time for it and, you know, be very conscientious about it, because it does require a certain focus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
And as we know, the majority of life is in the cities, and the focus is constantly being pulled in a multitude of directions, which is not conducive to what we're talking about.
Yes, I'm going to confess that I lived in Portland, Oregon at this time of year 39 years ago, and I haven't lived in a city since. 39
Good for
years
you.
Ago. And I do live in a different reality than that. And I grew up in New York City, right in New York City.
Wow.
And I do understand the city life a little bit too well. You know what I mean? I'm not ignorant of city ways, but I've gone away from them a lot. And it is true that I'm tuning in a very... Well, the most favorable factor, though, to be honest, is that I'm with a woman, Luminara. We've been together for 12 and a half years, and we tune to the same frequency together. We're completely in the same spirit path and journey. It's not you know, one or both of us. It's just this thing that we are together. And so it's much easier that way. And that's my really unfair advantage.
Uh-huh.
So I will admit to that, because I am constantly mirroring off of someone who, anything I'm seeing and feeling and knowing, she's there with it, and same vice versa. So, but nonetheless, people can tune up their frequencies. They just have to get to this place where they realize that something is already going on. This is what I'm going to say over and over again. These things are already going on. We just have to open to the awareness of them.
Mm.
You're not trying to create something. You're
mm-hmm.
trying to be aware of something
mm-hmm.
that's already going
already
on.
Is. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That also makes a lot of sense. So all of the people who are busy, you know, studying this, create your own reality, and the rest of it, might be deviating from, might be doing unnecessary work that it would be much easier if they just let go and tuned into what it already is.
Yes, because essentially spirit forces are so close to us now
uh-huh.
that we can basically be inwardly spiritually attuned. You said at the beginning that you know, the 60s were magical and magic seems to have gone away. The
mm-hmm.
magic that exists now is this future magic very close at hand that really wants to re-infuse us with a magical existence.
Oh, that is music to my ears. That is music to my ears, really. It is.
Because, of course, that was what was exciting in the 60s, was the magic.
Yes, yes. Well, and as a child, too, you know, just everything was magical. Everything was
yes.
alive.
Yes.
Everything was breathing. I mean, you know, and until your parents start saying, you know, stop playing with your food or don't do this or don't do that. And, you know, when you start shutting down, of course, the magic starts to go away because...
By the way, we have 4 small children here of our own.
Oh, how wonderful.
Between 2 and 9 years old. I'm even older than you, but nonetheless, I have these small children. And we're in that with them, and we don't do the usual trip of the parents telling the children what to do, nor do they tell us what to do, but we're just in a different kind of field.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, I mean, I wish we had time to talk about the new kids and how they're coming in just so aware and awake and so conscious and intent and full of intent. They're just
yes.
brilliant, you know, and they have so much to teach us, and that's magic in itself. And there are people that are having experiences now with elves and the fairies and divas and the rest of it. It does seem that there's a renaissance of the mystical.
Yeah, and it's just the slightest ripple compared to what's going to happen, because
oh.
essentially that part of our being is waking up. As I was saying earlier, the spirit part of us is really waking up, even while the soul depths keep going through all this stuff.
Wow. Well, you know, Elias, we have just about run out of time. I can't believe it. I'm just fascinated by all this. I could just keep talking for hours. Well, keep, you know, dialoguing with you, but we're just about out of time. There's enough time for you to share your, I know that you do readings and so on. You don't have a website, neither do I. If you'd like to share any information about how people can contact you for,
yes, the
go ahead.
best way right now is to phone at one of 2 numbers, voicemail 831-425-3134, and then home phone here in Hawaii is 808-822-7878 without a message phone here. So we're sort of, you call and see if you get us, and we're here, but in Kauai. And there is a website coming up, but I don't think it's fully there yet, and I'm not running it. I'm letting friends do it, so we'll see about that. But for the moment, let's just stick with this.
Wonderful. Well, gee, thank you so much. much for being with us tonight. It has been a treat, an honor, and a delight. And I just can't thank you enough for sharing yourself with the world like this.
Yes, and I appreciate you. I don't know you outwardly, but you're a true Virgo, and Virgo is not a bad word in my vocabulary. So you're a true Virgo.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you're welcome back anytime as these energies ramp up. If you'd like to share with anything with us, come back anytime and be on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.